Coming up on the Shelley Irwin Show podcast today, the Amway Riverbank Run is less than 30 days away. We get a preview. April is Parkinson's Awareness Month. We discuss CASA, the court-appointed special advocates for children, has an upcoming luncheon. We get a preview. The Grand Rapids Symphony presents another new family concert on the 18th. And also on the 18th, Muskegon welcomes Demetria Taylor, Chicago's bad girl of the blues.
The Amway Riverbank Run. You know where we're going with this. May 9th is the weekend. So, hey, if you want to run, jog, hop, skip every weekend, you can. But this has been around and sustainable for its good causes as well. Operations Director Steve Morrow in the house. Steve, always a pleasure. Good morning.
Good morning, Shelley. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Great.
Looking forward to talking about, obviously, this topic that gets us out on our Mother's Day weekend to celebrate well, the city of Grand Rapids, the wonderful trails that we have, and your Amway Riverbank Run. How are things, Steve?
Things are going really well. Registration numbers are looking good. We're up over where we were at this time last year, so hopefully that trend continues, and we're shooting for over 12,000 registered participants this year.
What makes this run one that attracts the audience?
We've got something for everybody. So whether you're doing the 5th Third 25K, the Fox Subaru 10K, the Amway 5K, or the Gentex 5K walk, we've got something that appeals to everyone.
Yes. And you've got the sponsors.
We do. We do. We love our sponsors, absolutely.
Yes, that's important as they support the mission. All right, big picture, Steve, for one who has never grace the presence of an Amway Riverbank Run or needs to know that maybe downtown is the place to be. Let us know more about why it's such a significant part of this community.
It's the largest single-day sporting event in West Michigan. It's been around we're on our 49th year. Hard to believe that it's been that long. And it's just something that, like I said, it appeals to everyone, whether you're running or walking or even just coming down to spectate, to volunteer. We've got something for everyone.
Yes. And you do have a variety of opportunities, including one can walk a 5K?
Correct. The Gentex 5K walk is it's good for everybody of all paces, all fitness levels. That is the only event that we allow strollers in. We allow dogs if you wanted to bring your dog down and walk as well. And Gentex is a great sponsor of that event.
I'll ask us at the end, how does one sign up in general?
You can go to our website at amwayriverbankrun.com, and there's a registration link right on the homepage.
All right, let's talk about your pros, because this is still the largest 25K competition as well?
It is. It's the largest 25K in the country, and we've been the home of the USATF National Championships since 1995. We've got a great elite field coming back again this year. We've got commitments from Casey Klinger, who was the men's winner last year, and he also broke the American record. We've got a commitment from Emma Grace Hurley, who just set the American record in the 8K down in Chicago. So lots of big names that are coming, and we're excited to see what that elite field puts on for us this year.
Yes. And those in chairs?
Yep. We have a wheelchair and a hand cycle division sponsored by Mary Freebed, and their numbers are looking great as well. They've got a lot of returning athletes. Really strong athletes that are coming back for the event this year.
Wonderful. Charity partners?
We do. We've got three charity partners this year. We've got Brave the Shave, Beer City Dog Biscuits, and the Equest Center for Therapeutic Riding.
Horses allowed?
they are not allowed. Actually, Benny is going to be down there at the start line.
Benny the small pony,
yep,
correct?
Yep, yes. The miniature pony. He's going to be down there at the start line for some photo opportunities right before the 5K. But they will be out on the course. They're, I believe, taking both of their horses out there to cheer on the 25K runners.
Wow, that's enough to get me signed up for sure.
Yeah.
What about your Road Warriors? So glad this ambassador program is back.
We do. We've got 17 Road Warriors this year. Anywhere from people that have never run a step in their life that are training to compete in that in the 25K. And then we've got a few that are actually going to do our Triple Crown event. Mm-hmm. So running the 5K, the 10K, and then turning around and running the 25K.
Can I do that next year for your 50th?
Absolutely. We'd love to see you out there doing it.
Well, I mean, the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
There as well. Tell me, Steve Morrow, again, Operations Director, what kind of volunteers you need for the Amway Riverbank Run?
We need about 800 volunteers every year to be able to pull this event off and have it be a safe and fun event for all of our participants. We're pretty close to, I mean, we're about two-thirds of the way there right now, but we're always looking for more volunteers, especially out at our aid stations. You know, that's a fun place to volunteer because you're in the mix of it. You're right there. All the runners are going by. You're giving them water, Gatorade, ice in some cases, energy gels, and it's just the runners really appreciate it, and you can feel the energy, and it's just a great place to volunteer and be right in the mix.
Yeah, nice. Tell us a little bit about swag. You guarantee a finisher's medal if I finish?
Yep. Every finisher gets a medal, and then if you're doing the Double Down or Triple Crown, you get the medal for each event, plus you get that Double Down or Triple Crown medal, which is beautiful. With has some diamond rhinestones on it. Nice and blingy medal for you.
Yeah. Sometimes it's all about the medal.
Absolutely.
But you have to finish.
Absolutely.
You know, that doesn't come in the packet pickup.
Yep.
All right. What else? Let's see. You are at the finish line when we cross. What do you see, Steve? What do you see?
Oh, gosh. I always get emotional when I talk about this, but it's, you know, just tears, hugs, laughter, high fives, just so much energy at the finish line. And, you know, it never gets old. It's just so fun to see people of all shapes, sizes, fitness levels, just having the time of their life finishing no matter what race they're participating in.
You have a wonderful finish fest too, don't you?
We do. Yep. We have the Soaring Eagle finish fest inside DeVos Place. And that runs from pretty much 7 a.m. until about 2 p.m. And we'll have music. We have a Jumbotron. We started last year with giving people the opportunity to take selfies and that kind of stuff. You send those in and they appear up on the Jumbotron. So we're doing that again this year. We'll have QR codes out on the course so that people can take them while they're out running. And when they get back to the finish fest, they'll see their pictures up on the Jumbotron.
Yes. What else?
Well, we've got the Amway Junior event sponsored by Corwell Health, Helen DeVos Children's Hospital.
Wednesday,
May 6th. Yep. That is out at East Kentwood High School. The registration starts at 4:30. You can always pre-register. We actually encourage that through the same channels. If you go to AmwayRiverBankRun.com, click on the registration link. There's an option in there for the junior event. We're expecting 1,000 kids or more this year. It is, again, a free event for the kids. They get a finisher medal. They get a race T-shirt. Post-race refreshments, so they get to experience everything that the runners on race day experience as well. Plus, we've got the family fun area with inflatables. Our charity partners will be out there. We have other vendors out there with giveaways. East Kentwood is a great location for this event. So much space and such a beautiful facility.
Very nice. Well, start them young because they've got an Amway Riverbank Run waiting for them. What you gonna do next year at 50? We got some surprises.
Yeah, we got some secrets. We can't reveal all the secrets yet. So believe it or not, even though we haven't gotten through this year, we've already started some of the planning for next year because it's going to be a big one.
Big one. And of course, after your May 9th comes and goes, Steve, in closing, you have other opportunities for us.
Yep. We do. We've got the Mill Creek Days 5K, 10K, which is out in Comstock Park. That is on August 8th. And we do a Getting Salty 5K Margarita Run, which is at Riverside Park on the north side of Grand Rapids. And that is on August 22nd. That's an afternoon run. It starts at 4 o'clock and the party goes into the evening. And it's fun. We had a great time with that last year.
Wonderful. Let's kick off our spring running with your Amway Riverbank Run and then look towards summer later. We'll continue the discussion. It's all for, of course, the wonderful celebration of our city and, of course, of health. Details one more time to register for May 9th.
Go to AmwayRiverBankRun.com. Click on the registration link that is right on the homepage.
Steve Murrow, again, thank you for your operations directing. We may get your Russ back before the start gun goes off.
Got to get him back from Florida.
Yeah, well, he's got work to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
April is Parkinson's Awareness Month. Conversations around neurodegenerative diseases must continue to grow. So let's talk to one in the thick of it, Dr. Darren Moore, on behalf of our Van Andel Institute, J. Van Andel Endowed Chair in Parkinson's Disease Research. Good morning to you, Dr. Moore.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
You are quite welcome. Why this Parkinson's interest to you personally?
I think I've just built a career out of this over the past 25 years. I wanted to work on something where there was you could help people and there's a sort of a disease that you could cure rather than just basic research. So I managed to combine those things. So that's what we do.
Thank you. And again, doing it well along with your colleagues. You are highly respected Parkinson's disease experts, and you can't beat Van Andel Institute on the Hill. What is Parkinson's disease?
So Parkinson's is a very common kind of movement disorder. So it affects the way we initiate movements. So slowness of movement, muscular rigidity, and tremor are the kind of main common symptoms. But it goes way beyond that, right? That's how it's diagnosed by a neurologist. But you can have many other symptoms like depression and anxiety, REM sleep disorder, these types of things. But primarily, it's a movement disorder, and it's a neurodegenerative disorder, meaning that the brain circuits that regulate movement degenerate over time, and so the disease progresses with time as well.
What's the role of genetics in this disease?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, I think, and that's what my lab works on. But genetics plays kind of two roles. So one is essentially that there are familial cases, so cases that are inherited. About 10% of all Parkinson's is inherited in families, and there are genes that we've identified, at least 20 genes now, which are known to cause the disease. And then the other 90% of Parkinson's we refer to as sporadic has a mixture of genetic risk, environmental exposure or stress, or it could be something you eat or an infection, and also aging. So naturally getting older is a risk factor for Parkinson's.
Have there been advances in early detection and diagnosis?
That's also something that's kind of evolved over time. So typically you go to the clinic and a neurologist will do a movement test on you and say, you have tremor, they could do many tests to say you have Parkinson's. Now we're trying to work on blood-based assays where we can say, maybe you have a biomarker that gives you Parkinson's, that shows that you have Parkinson's. That's coming along in the last couple of years now. There's a new assay that's kind of been developed around a protein called alpha-synuclein that we work on at Van Andel Institute, and this looks very promising. So I think we may be able to diagnose Parkinson's before you get symptoms, hopefully. Yeah.
Why is this month of April, Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month, mattering?
It should be all months of the year, but April is designated Worldwide Parkinson's Awareness Month, and this is really to inform the public about the disease and the symptoms and the treatments. There are a lot of people affected by this disease, but it's also for getting the word out about research and about using that to inform people that can change policies. Okay, so we're trying to make the public aware, but also, government officials, policymakers aware that we need more help.
Yes. And my notes tell me nearly 1 million Americans live with Parkinson's disease.
Yep, 1 million and growing. Unfortunately, it's one of the fastest growing diseases in the world, and 11 million people worldwide have Parkinson's.
Is this possibly correlated with the population aging?
Yes, absolutely. So I think that's the case for many diseases now. As you age longer, you always think that's healthy aging, but not necessarily, right? So there's a lot more diseases. Parkinson's and things like Alzheimer's are also increasing in prevalence because people live longer. Yeah.
What's the alternative, right? Not to live longer. but we won't even go there. Hashtag aches and pains. What gives you hope for future treatments?
So there's a lot of action, I think, in the clinical trial space right now. So we at the Van Andel Institute co-sponsor and kind of co-lead what's called an International Linked Clinical Trials Consortium. And so what we're doing there is one of the world's largest drug repurposing efforts. So we take drugs that are already FDA approved that maybe work for diabetes or for an infection, and we try to repurpose them for Parkinson's. So we shave off many billions of dollars and also many years of time because they're already approved. The other thing is, you know, coming back to genetics, that's really kind of exploded, and we now have a very good idea that, you know, Parkinson's may be kind of different in different people, so different symptoms and maybe different causes. And so we have all these different kind of molecular targets now that we can make drugs to. And I think that's becoming an interesting area where many pharmaceutical companies now have programs that target some of the genes we've been working on for 15, 20 years. So there are trials happening as we speak, and you know, they seem to be promising. So this gives me a lot of hope, actually. This is what I've kind of been waiting for.
Yes, and we know that one can live with Parkinson's with proper treatment and caregiving and lifestyle changes, correct?
Yep, absolutely. So Parkinson's can be treated quite well. I think the symptoms, it continues to progress as a disease, but the symptoms can be treated very well with things like levodopa and other forms of that. Things like exercise definitely have been proven to help, and a healthy diet is always good for everybody, right? So.
Yeah, it is for everybody, isn't it?
Yeah.
How'd you do on breakfast today?
Not much.
Okay. Practice what you preach. Could there be a cure for Parkinson's, Dr. Moore?
I would like to say I hope so. I think what's more realistic is something that stops the disease in its tracks. Maybe we can't reverse the damage, but we can certainly stop it from progressing. And that's what I think we're all hoping that we can develop.
Yeah. Wonderful. And are you enjoying your time at the Van Andel Institute?
Yeah, it's great. I've been there 12 years now and counting. It's a great place to work. And, you know, we have a great team of people that I'm fortunate enough to lead the department. And these are, you know, we cover Parkinson's, but we also cover other important diseases like Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia and Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yes, thank you. VAI.org for more information. Anything else you'd like to share, Dr. Darren Moore?
Well, based on the more information, we also have a meeting September 23 to 24 called Rallying to the Challenge. This is for patients, advocates, and caregivers and clinicians, and it's coupled with our Grand Challenges in Parkinson's scientific meeting. So definitely check it out if you're interested in more about Parkinson's.
We'll get you or your experts back in to talk about that as we near sticking with April as Parkinson's Awareness Month. Dr. Darren Moore, keep up your good work. Again, J. Van Andel Endowed Chair in Parkinson's Disease Research. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appointed special advocates for children under the leadership of Executive Director Stephanie Sheeler in the House. An upcoming luncheon. I love the theme, ripple effect, and more. Stephanie, good morning.
Good morning, Shelley. So glad to be here today.
Appreciate you and your passion for a very important organization. An April 23rd luncheon you have for your community. We'll get to that in just a second. Remind me of the good work of CASA.
CASA, like you said, stands for Court Appointed Special Advocates. Our focus is supporting children who've experienced abuse and neglect and have been removed from their home, and we do that through a volunteer workforce.
Boy, if you don't get volunteers, you might be in trouble.
That's why we're here today. We appreciate the opportunity to share awareness about the work we do because it is a community-driven organization. People who want to make a difference in their community, who want to invest in children in our community here in Kent County.
All right, let's take this apart. CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates for Children. Give me an example of a volunteer raises their hand. What do you need me to do?
So volunteers who participate in our program go through extensive training because they're taking on an awesome volunteer responsibility, and then they are matched with a child or a sibling group who has been removed from their home because of abuse or neglect and have a case in family court. So when kids are in foster care, they are part of the child welfare system here in Kent County and family court, and they need people to walk alongside them. And sometimes we need an extra person, and that person is a CASA volunteer.
What do you ask of that volunteer?
So we ask that volunteer to spend 10 to 15 hours a month investing in that court case, that child, that family. They spend time with the child every 7 to 10 days, but they also get to know the attorneys involved in the case, the foster care worker, maybe the child's teacher, the foster home. They become part of a team that is focused on the well-being and best interests of that child.
Yes. So where do I even start? You're touching lives here in many ways.
We are, and our volunteers are touching lives. This is not your everyday volunteer experience. You are actually touching the lives of a child and a family during what may be the very most difficult point of their journey.
Yes. Tell us about your luncheon and what we will witness.
So our luncheon is on April 23 at Frederick Meyer Gardens. The information is on our website, and we chose the theme Ripple Effect because that is what's happening at CASA of Kent County. Whether someone's spreading the word like you, Shelley, you're making ripples today, whether someone's coming to our luncheon to donate or to learn about volunteering, ripples go out from the people involved in CASA.
Yes. Will there be a few testimonies for us?
Yes. One of the neat things about our luncheon is that every year someone from the court speaks, and we have a referee speaking this year and tells what these volunteers bring to him as a decision maker. And we also have a CASA volunteer speaking.
So again, in the trenches, what's a referee?
Oh, good question. So I don't know if I should say this, but I think of referees like assistant principals and the judges as principals. That's a good way to explain it. So every judge has a referee. And so judges and referees hear cases in family court and make decisions about children. And it's those judges and referees that consider the CASA volunteers their eyes and ears in the community. They don't meet the children they're making decisions about. They only get information from other people. And our CASA volunteers are providing some of that information.
Is the program of CASA a national program?
Great question. So, yes, there are CASA programs all over the country, and they are based in a county. So each county that has a CASA program partners with their circuit court. So that's why we're CASA of Kent County. We work with the judges and referees from the 17th Circuit Court here in Kent County. So your listeners who want to make a difference in the community where they live, this is something to consider.
What kind of commitment do you ask of your volunteers?
So we do ask of our volunteers to make a commitment of 10 to 15 hours a month. But the bigger commitment is that we ask you to stay with this child until they have a loving, safe, permanent home through reunification with their parents, guardianship, or adoption. So you might be making a 2 or 3 year commitment.
But it's worth it.
It is worth it, yes.
Of course you would say that, but I've heard from others. Stephanie Sheeler with us again, Executive Director of CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates for Children, CASA of Kent County. How does one sign up for your luncheon?
Visit our website, casakentco.org. Hover over how to help and you will see an events tab and you can sign up for our luncheon. We'd love to have you sign up before Monday because you will get to choose your meal with our caterer.
More on programming. What else is involved in the work that you do, Stephanie?
Yeah, so if I want to speak a little bit more about volunteering, the luncheon isn't the only way to learn. So if the luncheon, people can't come to the luncheon, we have other ways to learn. We have virtual info sessions. We have mixers. We have a mixer coming up in May at Schuler Books where you can talk, a potential volunteer can talk to staff, current volunteers, and just learn more.
And when is that again?
The mixer is May 12th at Schuler Books. Yes.
You've got good helpers.
I do have good helpers over there.
Well, we're having fun, but again, I know you have a serious job. Future of CASA, strong?
Future of CASA is strong and growing. We are serving more cases this month than we have ever served before. That means we have volunteers on more cases than ever before. So we have a strong desire to grow, and it takes two things. It takes funds and volunteers. One without the other isn't going to work, and we're so thrilled to be here to share the need with our community.
Yes, that's what you're doing. All right, anything else before details of the luncheon? One more time.
Let's just make the ripples. Oh, I know. If it's not you that could be a volunteer, think of someone in your life who could be. We need people spreading the word, saying to their friends, you would make a great CASA volunteer. That is how we get a lot of volunteers, word of mouth.
Lives to be changed on both sides. of that opportunity. Stephanie, Sheila, details one more time for the 23rd.
April 23, our luncheon starts at 11:30 with mixing, mingling, and we have an art show from students at Catholic Central. So you get to see art, ripple art created by local students. And then at noon, our luncheon and program begins. We have you out by 1 o'clock, free admission to Frederick Meyer Gardens. You get to see the butterflies. You can walk around inside, outside. It's a win-win, and it's free.
Those are the extras, the bottom line. Learn more about CASA. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thanks, Shelley.
My next guest won't be sleeping in because she has things to do when it comes to music for everyone, especially the little ones, continuing the planning for the Grand Rapids Symphony, presenting another new family concert. Let's talk to you. Good that you are here, my fellow runner, Sarah Stickney. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks so much for having us.
You're welcome. With the other hat you wear, you are all about music education with the wonderful Grand Rapids Symphony. Your colleague will get to you in a minute. Jennifer, stand by. You, Director of Education, that's a big deal.
Thank you. It is kind of a dream job for me, and I feel like we do some really amazing work with education and family opportunities.
Good. All right, let's have you tee up what's happening Saturday after next.
Yes, a week from tomorrow on April 18th, we will be back at Forest Hills Fine Arts Center with a very special family concert. It's a world premiere orchestra performance with Uno, Dos, Tres, Andres, Andres and Christina. And they have over 11 million subscribers on YouTube. And we get to premiere their orchestra show around the Americas.
Introduce your colleague, please.
Sure. Jennifer's the reason this is all happening. So with me today is Jennifer Onibo. Jennifer actually moved to work with the Grand Rapids Symphony from Iowa a little over a year ago.
Welcome again, but you are well immersed into this world of education. All right. Be careful what you wish for. This is happening on the 18th. Talk about how this came to be.
Yeah, so as Sarah mentioned, I just moved here from Iowa about a year ago, and when I was in my role in Iowa, I had the opportunity to work with Andreas and Christina in a residency in Marshalltown, Iowa, and they were just phenomenal. The reviews from the students, from the teachers, administration, even the community was just outstanding. So when I got this role at the Symphony, I just knew that it was a win, and we were able to make it happen, so very excited about it.
And so they have an extended resume. Are they co-hosts of the PBS podcast, Jamming on the Job?
They are, yes. Yes, they are children's authors. They are. They have a very wide resume of activities that they do. So, yep.
And music that is drawn from across Latin America, lyrics that encourage, play, curiosity, and connection.
Correct, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. How does the day work, Sarah? Is there one performance?
Yep, so we're at 11:30 on Saturday, April 18th. As most of our family shows offer, we will have pre-concert lobby activities with us, with community partners, filling the lobby, hopefully just for families to come and enjoy some time together, play some instruments, maybe make some instruments, have some activities maybe from our friends at the Grand Rapids Ballet and hopefully some other community partners with tables with information about summer programming for their organization, but also some fun activities for kids and families.
Wonderful. And Jennifer, it's about an hour long, the performance itself?
It will be about an hour. It will start with instrument discovery. So our musicians will be showing off their instruments and teaching the audience about what instruments are in the orchestra. And then it will move right into their outstanding program.
Yes. Is there an ideal age range to be in the audience?
I mean, it really is for all ages. I would say probably early elementary is really the target audience for Uno, Dos, Tres, Andreas, but everyone will enjoy the program.
Now, you're saying Uno, Dos, Tres, Andres. I'm saying 1, 2, 3, Andres. What's the layman's term here?
Well, that's
great,
a great
question.
So actually, they perform in English, Spanish, and American Sign Language, so you can say it however you would like.
Yes, and that is the way the world should work. That's for sure. Sarah, yes.
Yeah, while they're here, I just wanted to share they're also doing some really cool educational outreach events. So they'll be at a local Early Childhood Center that we're partnering with to do a special school assembly for those students. And then they're actually going to be spending some time with one of the programs that we coordinate, our Mosaic Scholars. So sharing about being in the music industry. And so that's a whole other side of the time that they're spending with us, too.
As they should. Remind me of the work of the Mosaic Scholars.
Yeah, our Mosaic Scholarship Program is for middle and high school student musicians of color in the area in Kent County. And we really try to craft the experience in response to what they need as musicians and maybe some future professional musicians and arts supporters in our community. They have workshops with guest artists. They do a composition project. They have private lessons with our orchestra musicians. Just a really deep dive into their musical development. It's quite a commitment on the student and family's end, and we are here to support their interest in just developing.
Wonderful. Jennifer, you have a year under your belt. How are things?
Oh, it's wonderful. It's just a fantastic team, and I'm really proud of the music and the community outreach that we put out there. I think our musicians are just so talented, and the staff that I work with is talented as well and welcoming and just really, really smart. So I'm so pleased to be a part of this team.
And Sarah, we talked before you had your promotion of Fractured Fairy Tales with yourself and John. How soon? I mean, April 18th is a big Saturday for you, but how do you continue beyond?
Well, I will share. We are doing some really special things in the community this summer. We have a short summer season, so stay tuned. Kind of mid July ish, we've got some fun things planned, possibly at the zoo. Keep your eyes and ears peeled for some just notifications about what we have going on in the community this summer.
Yes. What else, Jennifer?
I was going to add as well that after the performance on Saturday, the duo, Andreas and Christina, will be doing a meet and greet in the lobby and having some of their children's books for sale. So I mentioned that they're also authors, and so they're really engaging children's books, and so there's an opportunity to pick some of those up while you're at the show.
And you say it's a duet? It's a duo?
It's a husband and wife
husband
duo.
And wife, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Andres and Christina have been to the West Michigan area multiple times. I mean, they are performers that will do, you know, school gym assemblies for schools or community music festivals, or I think they've even done some library events. So they really, there's no parameters to what they have done in our area, and we're just really lucky to collaborate with them in this way, in a new way.
Nice. Question in closing for you both. Jennifer, how important is music education for any age, but specifically the little ones?
Oh, absolutely. We really embrace lifelong learning at the Grand Rapids Symphony. We know that you're never too young or too old to learn about music and the way that it connects us together. And I think it is one of the most important things that we can do.
Good. And your answer, Sarah.
I think the intergenerational experiences for younger children with their parents, with grandparents, with their older family members is a really special experience. So sharing music as a family, sharing music with loved ones, again, intergenerationally, is a really, really powerful, impactful experience.
It's a wonderful experience to be had, not this Saturday, but next, the 18th. Your final word, Jennifer?
We hope to see you there.
That's called cut to the chase. Details one more time, Sarah.
Sure. April 18th at 11:30 a.m. Tickets are $20 for adults and children are free.
They say nothing's free, but children are free. Come enjoy the opportunity to, be educated by music. And 1, 2, 3, uno, dos, tres, Andres. Ladies, thank you.
Thank you.
See this, Demetria Taylor. She's Chicago's bad girl of the blues performing in Muskegon. That's next Saturday, April 18th, 6 o'clock. I'll let you finish the line on that. Judith, we'll call you Judy Hayner on the line. Judy, always a pleasure. Good morning.
It is a pleasure. It's been a while, Shelley. It's good to talk with you again.
Talk to you. Know that you're keeping Muskegon hopping when it comes to the blues, and you're keeping the Killer Blues Headstone Project alive. What's happening on the 18th that evening?
That evening, we are staging a really great night of blues, American blues music. We're featuring Demetria Taylor, as you said, from Chicago, an award-winning blues artist who grew up in the blues. Her father was Eddie Taylor Sr., and her mother was Vera Taylor, so she was surrounded by music from the crib on up, I think. We're very excited to be bringing her here, and we're also featuring Asamu Johnson and the Associates of the Blues, which is a Grand Rapids band. So we've got just a great lineup that night, and I hope everybody will come out and see it. Our goal is to really to help raise money for the Killer Blues Headstone Project and to create a fund that could help support future blues shows. This is our second show. Our first one was in November with Tornado Davis out of Detroit, and that sold out. So we expect this one to sell out, too.
Nice. All right, let me take apart a couple of things. First of all, are we headed to the Fricano Event Center on Western around 6 o'clock?
Yes, we are. We decided to try a bigger venue this year to see if we could grow the audience. There are people on the committee that eventually would like to do an all-day festival. So we're trying to see what our audience might look like in Muskegon. So we went to a bigger venue, and it is at Fricano's starting at 6 o'clock.
Tell us more about the Killer Headstone Project.
It's really interesting. We had a loose group of people in Muskegon that wanted to do blues stuff, and we started to meet, and then we learned about Steve Salter's project, the Killer Blues Headstone Project. He has been, for almost 30 years, going around the country, finding unmarked graves of blues singers, American blues singers, and then placing headstones on them. And he's done 175 in 17 states over these almost 30 years. So he works with families and other blues singers, and he finds these graves that are not marked. And so then he works with the families to try to get a headstone on each one.
Well, important role, and again, important to put not only awareness to this, but also the funds needed. Blues legend Demetria Taylor performing again with the Mike Wheeler Band. That's Saturday after next, April 18th, 6 p.m. What else is important we know here? This keeps Muskegon, busy. Judy?
Well, I think there are people on our committee that really, including myself, believe that the American blues not only is really important, obviously, but it also seems like something that could become a signature for Muskegon. It just seems like it really fits this scrappy little town that we love so much. And I think it can attract our whole community, a diverse audience to enjoy this music. And that's really one of our committee's goals. Steve's goal, obviously, is to promote the Killer Blues Headstone Project and to help continue to get support so he can do more gravestones. Our two goals really merge quite nicely. We have a great committee of volunteers that are just doing everything they can to make this a big success. So we've been fortunate to be able to partner with Steve Salter and the Killer Blues Headstone Project.
It's always nice to know proceeds when I get my ticket go somewhere needed and important. And the West Michigan Blues Concert Committee, your goal to continue staging quality blues concerts, of course, in your, what'd you call it yourself, a scrappy little city? I think that's a compliment to the wonderful Muskegon.
A scrappy little town. That's right. That's right. It is a compliment. That's what's kept Muskegon going all these decades.
In which sing it myself for 25 years. So look, be careful what you wish for. What else has Judy Hayner been up to lately?
Well, I've just finished out, and we should have, I'll call you back because I'd like to talk about this sometime. We've just finished out a project of doing 10 significant commissions of public art. And this was a project that started in 2018, and we just did the last one with a sculpture that's at the grounds of the expanded Muskegon Museum of Art. So, yeah, we should talk about that sometime. It's been a great project.
You know how that happens and how anyone can lend their voice to us. Just email me, Judy. All right, I guess let's do a detail. Ask how to get my ticket and get in my seat for April 18th, please.
All right. So we have a West Michigan what's her name, Les Museum Blues Concert Festival page on Facebook. You also can go to Eventbrite and search Demetria Taylor, and you can buy tickets that way. Tickets in advance are $25. At the door, they're $30. We don't expect to have a lot of tickets available at the door. We do think that, you know, our wonderful town is a bit of a last-minute town, and I think that this week and next we will sell out. We only have about 100 tickets left. So, if people want to come, do it now. Don't wait till next Saturday, the 18th, because you might not be able to get in.
No, we don't want you standing at the door and heading home. All right.
I know.
There's a bad visual. Well, again, Muskegon doing great things. We'll be speaking with those on behalf of the museum next week and certainly more. So, Judy, keep up your good work in making Muskegon even scrappier. How's that?
I like that. All right, thank you. Take care
to you. Demetria Taylor, she's Chicago's bad girl of the blues. She's performing in Muskegon, as Judy mentioned, Saturday, April 18th, 6 p.m., wonderful Fricano Event Center. Your inspiration for the day, according to Jacqueline Kennedy, actually Kelly, there's a difference. It's amazing what you can see when you just sit quietly and look. Okay, I just did that. Hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Shelley Irwin. Have a super weekend.